Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello there, welcome to the catch up. Very nice of you to have us. Big old can of worms today, wasn't it?
I know, it was the front page of the paper. I don't think we actually got to two sides. I think it was a multifaceted can of worms.
Wow.
Multiple sides across
different sports, yeah.
Well, is women's sport, I know, are there enough people watching it and buying merchandise and all the rest of it?
You're on a bandwagon, aren't you, Marto?
The Bullets bandwagon.
Boom, boom.
What a weekend it was for some of my favourite players. I won't name them all because I
can't. Because you don't know them.
Well, I've got a shirt with their names.
Give me one apart from him.
Cam
the American with the French Bulldog. Yep.
The guy from New Zealand.
Yep.
They're my favourite team, the Bullets. You all know that.
I can tell.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, I came in today so keen to be positive about AFLW after I went to the Lions game. And I know Dobbo's going, oh, they got thrashed by Melbourne. That was the reality yesterday. The Brisbane Lions women's team did get thrashed by Melbourne. But it was such a great afternoon down at Stafford at Hickey Park.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon something about a kilometre from my house, wandered down there with my daughter Hillary, and it was all positive. The vibe was magnificent. There were about 4,000 people there. Everyone was in a good... Oh, there were some knucklehead Melbourne people there, but don't let that put you off. Melbourne Demons, are they really silver spoon people? They were up themselves.
Oh, massively.
All right.
Massively.
But that
the
wasn't
worst
it.
Fans
I just came
Demons
away fans. And went, the standard wasn't... Great. I wanted to check it out for myself live rather than just watching on telly.
So we're talking about women's AFL.
Women's AFL, only in its second season. Embryonic, I'd say. They didn't charge, so people just went, great. Yeah. I don't know what had happened if they'd charged $20 a ticket, whether the people would go, but what a good afternoon. They put a good job on. Those girls will get better and better, and at the moment there's a few rough edges to them.
Well, it's interesting because the front page of today's paper is all about women's sport and women being paid equally. And in the worst name report ever, it's called the Male Champions of Change Pathway to Pay Equality Report.
What does that mean?
Well, exactly right. What does that mean?
Is this the same pay for same job?
Yeah. So they're now talking about the fact that women's sport needs to get a major upgrade because they are getting lower pay, they have poorer facilities and poorer benefits. And now they've got all the CEOs of the big sporting codes at least now looking at this report saying we need to do more, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
Not if they're no good. That's where I'm interested in the AFLW. They're not good enough to be paid the same as the men yesterday. If they can't pay the bills, they can't be paid the same amount as the players,
but
male players.
If they're improving the facility, you've got to make sure the facilities are upgraded and that everybody's got a chance to be as good as they can be.
Because some of the change rooms have no women's toilets, for example.
Like, that's not paying girls. That's not
changing. No, but this is about the whole support of female sport.
That's a different affair. The infrastructure is a different affair.
No, but that's part of this whole thing. They're talking about actually pushing female sport in a way where they are treated in exactly the same way. And part of that is...
Also, not just pay, everything.
Everything. But it's interesting because we've been throwing this around all morning, the whole idea of paying women the same as blokes in comparable
for something
sports.
They don't do as well as.
Okay, tennis.
Fine. They get paid exactly the same to play Grand Slam tennis, and I don't agree with that because they only play best of three, not best of five. So per minute, they get paid more.
Okay, so netball, for example. Our netballers are paid less, even though they're the world champions.
Less
they get
than
paid
who?
Less than our basketballers.
Do they?
Different
yes,
sport.
They do. Doesn't and matter.
But don't basketball...
Excuse
don't
me.
More people watch basketball?
I don't have the stats in front. No, they would not in Australia. Netball would be far more watched in Australia than basketball.
On. When what, you're saying basketball? That, the professional... No. All right, so all the professional teams in the ANZ Championship for netball get paid less than the Australian women's basketball players.
Looking, I've just Googled, and under the new collective bargaining agreement, the average salary for netballers will rise from 40 to 67,000.
That's a big step.
Okay, so
would you be able to make that your job?
The minimum wage more than doubles to 27,000. You could barely survive on 27 grand as a professional
sports person. Well, that's why they've all got jobs and then they go to training.
Whereas the basketballers, limited
by... Is this male basketballers or female basketballers?
Well, I'm looking at the... I've just Googled Australia's basketball and I'm told that if an American import into Australia gets between $60,000 and $100,000 per person. So straight off, they're paid more than the netballers.
But there's not enough eyeballs. I know they were saying 4,000. It was on Fox Sports yesterday, and they're trying their hardest to push it. And, you know, and they've got a real campaign to push female sport on Fox Sports. They know more girls will watch it. But simply,
That team I watched yesterday could not beat an under 16 boys team. So why are they getting paid the same amount of money?
You cannot be what you cannot see. We have to put the infrastructure into place.
Hold on, don't just throw words on that. What does that mean?
Think about it. You can't, like, for girls to get better, they have to see that there is a pathway that leads them to a professional sport. In the last 5 years, we have only just started to support women's sport.
Yeah.
So that's why it'll get better over time, but you've got to put those structures in place.
But aren't they just making up these sports? Like, they're just inventing, I want to play bloke sports. What's wrong with all the traditional athletics and all that? Because they get paid well, Sally McLennan and all the rest of it.
Why do you have to go down gender lines? Why can't we all just do what we want?
Yeah, just play the sports. Like, as I said last week, Ronda Rousey, the female UFC fighter, she was massive and brought all these women into mixed martial arts, and now it's improved.
Did they get paid a lot of money before they were good? I'm saying you start to get paid well, you get paid poorly until you start performing really well.
Okay.
Like, with a bloke, you wouldn't pay a bloke a lot of money if he's not good enough.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Should male and female athletes be paid the same? Tell us what you think. Dean Avenogra, what do you reckon? Should male and female athletes be paid the same?
I think it depends. In my opinion, I think it's Mato hit the nail on the head with tennis. Best of three, best of five in Grand Slams. They shouldn't be paid the same. If women wanted to be paid the same as men, play best of five, or men play best of three and pay them the same. Look at golf. You've got a ladies' tee and a men's tee. Put them on the same tee, get paid the same.
Yeah.
For the soccer, the rugby league, it's a shorter time period, so probably not the same. Basketball, I think they should. Same court, same hoop, same time, pay them the same.
Okay. Thank you, Dean.
Surfing. Do they get paid surfing? Like, does Steph Gilmore make the same as the other boys? I'm not
sure. Talk amongst yourselves. Yes. I'll find out. Robin of Redland Bay, what do you reckon?
Definitely women should get paid the same. If you take Lauren Justin, is she good enough for you, Marto?
Yeah, she's pretty good, yeah.
Okay, so at her peak, she was voted MVP at the WNBA 3 years in a row.
Yep.
She won silver medals for Australia. Her maximum wage was $400,000.
Yep.
The guy sitting on the bench in NBA teams who never got on the court got $1 million.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How is that equal and fair when she's training just as hard as they are? She's playing more minutes than they are. She's wrecking her body more than they are, and she's getting less than 50%.
Would she make any of the men's teams?
Oh, absolutely. She's 6'2" and she can play inside, outside, and she would have handled herself.
See, that's the other question. Why don't we allow some of the great women to play?
Why don't we see if she can play for the men?
Why can't they do that? I don't know.
Mm.
Thank you, Robin. And to answer
your
question, it has taken over 40 years to get there, but on September 6th last year, the World Surfing League announced that they were closing the pay gap. And from that point on, so for the events going into 2019, so this year, surfers are getting paid the same.
And you know why? Because people love women surfing. The people sit down and watch it. People will buy a pay TV subscription to watch women surfers. Whereas they won't pay to watch women's cricket or AFLW.
But the cricket's getting better, and those girls are amazing.
Well, that's why I'm saying it should be incremental. They can't go, right, let's start paying them the same. There isn't that much money.
Mm. The AFLW is getting better, you know, week by week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still give them a few years.
I reckon on each team yesterday there were four good players, and that's what can dominate a game. That doesn't happen in the men's game. You don't have 11 passengers.
Pretty even on the phones as well, 133353. Surprisingly, a lot of people like Dean, respectfully saying they shouldn't get paid the same because the constraints of the game need to be equal before they get equal pay.
The Gold Coast Suns don't have four good players on their team. So.
That's true.
That's a special
Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Our lives in Brisbane may have continued on as normal, but back up in Townsville, they are starting the massive cleanup and trying to get things back to normal, and they couldn't do it without the help of the armed forces. So we've got Brigadier Scott Winter, who's commander of the Joint Task Force, with us. Good morning, Brigadier.
Good morning, guys, and good morning to all your listeners.
You're in charge of the 3rd Brigade up there in Townsville. Did you guys just put your hand up, or do you have to be invited in to help?
Oh, look, we didn't need much invitation to start to get involved. Certainly at the government level, there was a formal request that came in, but I think everyone knows that we're a pretty proud part of this community up here.
It's incredible.
So right from the outset, we were pretty keen to get involved. You know, the biggest challenge I had throughout was holding our people back and making sure that we were doing it in a structured way and that we were in support of the fantastic team of police, ambulance, the SES volunteers. It was a remarkable community effort and we're certainly proud to play our part.
So what's your day look like? Like, how is the armed forces helping the people of Townsville now?
Well, look, you know, after the initial sort of emergency period, obviously it's been shoulders to the wheel with this incredible clean-up effort that we've been involved in. So the Army's played its part in that regard under the guidance of the City Council, which has done a remarkable job in starting to get all those different contractors and like up and running. Still plenty of work to be done. And you know, at the moment, really, we're in a supporting role where if there's any particularly difficult or demanding tasks, then our fantastic engineers, both the Army engineers and the Air Force engineers, you know, pretty much acting as a mobile reserve to go and fix any particularly difficult problems as they come up.
Was there any bit of new Army kit that maybe we haven't heard about that you got to use for this operation? Any camouflage jet skis or anything getting around?
Well, maybe I need to put in a bit of a requisition for those for next time. I'll just make a note of that one. But look, but mostly it was stuff that we've got in service, but perhaps being used in a way that wasn't initially envisaged. Certainly, you know, the role of the armoured vehicles throughout the height of the crisis, an example of that is our Bushmaster ambulances, which once the Queensland Ambulance Services, day-to-day ambulances could no longer get around because of the floodwaters. We seamlessly, melded them into the big Bushmasters with the Red Cross on it and were able to get them around town, and they were pretty fundamental in saving a number of lives.
I see you guys have even been helping with your big convoy trucks getting all the rubbish off the footpaths. Where is all that rubbish going? Because surely Townsville hasn't got a dump that big. Have you had to dig huge holes or something?
No. I think it's certainly feeding into the normal waste disposal system, although I did see the other day that in that first week or so that collected over a year's worth of rubbish. So there is, I think, one of those things that all the members of this community realise is that recovery takes a long time. It's not just a matter of either saving lives or then cleaning up the streets. It's looking after our people, getting our arms around those who have lost all those worldly belongings, and ensuring that we're with them for the long haul. And I can certainly assure the Townsville community that one of the great things about being a garrison city is that the Army's right here.
Nice one. Well, thanks for your recovery efforts, Brigadier. Thank you for talking with us this morning too.
My great pleasure. And like I said, that this is a remarkable community. It's been our privilege to have played a hand.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Now, late last week, Mardo, in what could have been described, and I think I was at the it was at the time, as one of the longest stories ever without a point, you did bring up something very, very interesting, and that is that there's a particular type of car that if you see that on the road, you just know terrible drivers.
You hated BMW drivers, and I don't understand why.
There was an incident. Does anyone else test BMW drivers? I'll include.
I'm not a fan as a bike rider.
Yeah, why? What is your complete hatred of
something
BMW
for some
drivers?
Reason, I don't know, it's been going for a fair while. And a woman confirmed it last Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day that was, that she complained about nothing, about a near incident.
Yeah, my view on them as a cyclist, if those big BMW four-wheel drives, if you're in a bike lane, almost 100% of the time, they'll just swing a door open. They're not looking in the
mirrors. They don't use their mirrors because they think they're in some sort of bubble that's impervious to the rest of the world. It's not just them. I'm starting to get a real set against Audi drivers as well.
Oh, okay. So let's start a list.
Some reason when you pick up these cars, and I don't know what it is. I'm going to say for me it's BMW and Audis are two of the biggest problems. I'll generalise, okay? I'll go, they all
clearly
can't drive.
Yes, you are.
There must be something in there that plays an audio track going, you're in a BMW or an Audi, you are impervious to any
Volvos?
Trouble.
Volvos? Volvos used to be.
Oh, right. Are you too? I reckon they seem to be getting better.
Yeah, when I was younger, it was always the oldies driving a big square Volvo with a hat in the back.
Yep, and that's not
box
just a stereotype.
Yeah,
that's
box of tissues.
What were they using it
for? Volvos have got better now. They've become a lot more trendy.
You're right. They don't worry me anymore.
I can't really.
I brought this up this morning. One of the young blokes here, Jack, said Tritons. For some reason, he's got a real fix.
He's on a motorbike, and so he feels that the cars that take him out the most are the Tritons.
This is real research. This is on the road, people going, I'll tell you who annoys me, and that's what I'd like to hear from it.
You want to find out?
Is it just BMWs or there other cars? I'll tell you what, Mercedes as well. It all seems to be the Germans.
They're off all of them.
Okay, 1-3-3-3.
HSV,
0853. If you want to dob in a type of car where a bad driver is in it, now is your chance.
Did you just say HSV for you?
Yeah. When the light goes green, they'll never just take off slowly, will they?
Michael of Aspley, what do you reckon?
I think they suck. BMW drivers are terrible, but the worst are Audi drivers.
I'm with you. What is it? What's going on?
I hate them. I reckon they got vibrating seats. They just think they're better than everybody else.
They do. There's a certain sense of smug self-entitledness inside the BMW and the Audi. There's something
I think
about
so.
It.
Okay. They just own the, well, they think they own the road. They try and just intimidate everybody. They tailgate everybody when they drive, and they just want their own road. So off our roads.
I reckon when they buy it, they have to do some little test inside the dealership just to make sure they're a-holes.
Question one, the only question, are you a wanker?
Okay. All right, here's the keys. Off you go, Tiger.
Chris of Maruka. Which drivers would you like to dob in? Which car drivers?
So I reckon it's any tradie in utes going to work in the morning. They're always aggressive, speeding.
Yep.
Them fighting words.
I'm a tradie myself, but I don't drive a ute. I get to work in plenty of time. It seems to be these young fellas that get out of bed late and they've got to get to work quick.
Jamming iced coffee into themselves or a mother and off they go.
Exactly.
You might be right. They are very aggressive.
You're agreeing with him.
Kind of.
A slap, okay.
I tell you what, I don't like van drivers simply because you can't see what's in front of them.
Kevin of New Farm, what would you like to dob in? What type of cars are bad drivers in?
The worst ones will be the Mercedes-Benz AMG, closely followed by tradies with their phone glued to their ear.
What is it? Now, tell me about the Mercedes. I don't understand what the AMG is. Is that one of the arms of the Mercedes? Because you're right. Is that the better? Is that the luxury arm?
Yeah, it's the fancy.
Well, they're the biggest tools. They're worse than BMW drivers.
Excellent. I'm loving this. There is one category that you have not mentioned, and I'm going to slam you with it if we get through this whole thing and you don't.
Little car drivers seem to be okay because they're scared the whole time.
Bruno.
You've got to be scared to drive well.
Bruno of Tanimera, what do you reckon? Right. What type of car are bad drivers in?
Well, I drive an Audi, so I'm a pretty good driver. Yeah. The worst drivers...
driving now?
I am driving.
Yep, driving on the phone, like an Audi driver.
No, Bluetooth. Please.
Yeah.
I constantly get raced by... they try and race me Commodores XR6. And the reason we're bad drivers is because everybody's in our bloody way.
Sorry. The world was put on for you.
Oh, we never looked at it like
It was. I mean, these things go fast. They get the hell out of the way.
So you're saying the Commodores, et cetera, they'll have a look at you and try to have a go.
Oh, God. And you know what? You guys are making the... Everyone's making the comment of BMW, they're wankers, but Audi too are wankers. But the thing is, just because you're driving an Audi doesn't mean you're a wanker.
No.
You're able to afford yourself a nice car. That doesn't make you a wanker. And I don't drive like an arsehole, so I don't try to anyway.
Love you, Bruno.
Good on you, Bruno. Most of the callers, unfortunately, Bruno, saying that BMW and Audi drivers are the
Robin's
worst.
Got stats, she's telling me.
I do. The top 10 cars most likely to be in an accident, Audi comes in at number 7. Oh. Number 6 is a Lexus. Yeah. Number 5 is an Infiniti JX.
Oh, they're the Lexus Nissan drivers, yeah.
Okay, yep. Number 4 is a Jaguar XJ.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Number 3 is a Land Rover, Range Rover Evoque.
Yeah. Yep.
Number 2.
Prince Philip's.
Number 2, a BMW X1. And
Something beat the BMW?
The number 1 car most likely to be in an accident is... BMW 4 Series.
Oh, they've got the top 2 posse.
They do.
Taken it out.
And not one mention of mums at pickups in 4-wheel drives.
I don't mind them.
Thank you.
Or the Mahindra. It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
About 10 days ago, we were talking about going getting home and there was a window open at my house and I thought there was someone.
Yes, you thought there was a burglar and you stood there with what was it?
A shovel.
A shovel.
And you played the part of your neighbour who you were pretending was in there helping you.
I pretended he had a gun and he had him cut. Anyway, that didn't occur, okay?
Yeah, we know that. It was a fake burglar.
Well, and took me 15 minutes to work that out until I flushed out no one from my house.
Yep.
All right, but it did. It led to a few phone calls that day about people going, I'll tell you what I did, donging someone on the head with a saucepan.
Yeah, we heard that.
All right, last night on the news, there was a serious one. And here's the headline from down in Sydney on the Nine News.
An intruder has died after he was confronted by the owner of the house he'd broken into.
Okie dokie.
What happened here?
A bloke, I'd say he was icy, I don't know, but he was wandering around in bare feet. Apparently people, he was wandering around the whole neighbourhood trying to break into houses, mm-hmm. okay? And the bloke whose house he broke into, he didn't know that he was already, he just found him. He had a kid. It was Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. Ooh. Had a kid. He found him in the lounge room and unfortunately...
As a result of that struggle, the male intruder has collapsed and become unconscious.
The guy was a South African. Now, if anyone knows anything about South Africa, there are more home invasions than in any other nation on the earth. It is home invasion central.
We learnt a lot about that with the Oscar Pretorius case.
Aha, of course. They are ready to go at all stages. If you're ever going to break into someone's houses, you think I'm me with the shovel, I'm good to go? No, South Africans
and
would
your
have...
voices.
They would have a shovel in every bedroom, in every room of the house. They wouldn't have... Yeah, anyway.
So that was it. Was that a South African?
That was a South African gentleman who used what I would describe as reasonable force. But just so if everyone's clear on the laws.
People are entitled to their home and they're entitled to use reasonable force to protect themselves and their property.
What's reasonable force?
That's up to you to decide if you've got to detain a person.
Well, if you used a gun, was that reasonable force?
It depends.
Well, yeah, it does depend. If he was threatening his wife and stuff, yeah. No, he'll get away with that. No problems at all. Well, if you break into somebody else's house, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Break into my house, you're in trouble.
Yeah, surely it's fair game if you break into someone's house.
And South Africans are job ready.
So what...
Well, they are, mate. You break into their house, they're good to go.
He wasn't putting on his own little one-man play, but doing voices of neighbours that weren't really there.
He was good to go on his own, don't you worry.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, Rolling Stone's about to do another US tour coming up. Right?
Bless them.
I know, bless them. You know who's sponsoring it? In a bit of irony, this a pension and retirement fund is sponsoring the tour.
Why are they still doing it? Like they don't need the money.
I don't know. But
because what else are they going to do?
I guess so. This is probably what keeps them young. Now, last week, just to give you a bit of news on the Stones, Rolling Stones, last week, Keith Richards announced publicly that he'd given up drugs and hard liquor, as in spirits.
What,
he said, I'd have a couple
enough.
Of wines and a few beers. So he's still
just
right for wines
the,
and a Guinness.
Sticking to the Milton Mangoes?
Yeah, exactly. So he'll have, no, he said Guinness. So he'll drink Guinness and wine, no drugs, no liquor. Oh. What about the discipline of the bloke at the age of 75 to be really going, my body is a temple? That's Keith. And here's the big news from Mick Jagger.
Right.
After bedding, they believe, up to 4,000 women over his life. Is that possible?
Yeah, of course it is. He's on tour.
He's 75 years of age.
The Rolling Stones.
What's that?
Like,
yeah.
4,000.
Yeah.
One a day for over 10 years.
I'm surprised. I would have thought he would have gone 10,000.
50 years on tour. 50 years on tour. Would you be happy with that?
Yeah.
That's still 80 a year.
Okay.
That's good going.
That's massive. Well,
and you got to think he's tailed off in the last few, surely.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know until recently, he was still doing it with a 22-year-old movie producer while having this girl for rock solid girlfriend.
Excellent.
So he has lap overs, all the rest of it. All right. So he said, as of now, he's 75, he turned 76 later this year. He said, I have now become monogamous.
Oh, I am just going. Absolute crap.
There is no way.
That's like...
What do you mean it's no way?
Why is he stopping now?
He said, I'm stopping my womanising, becoming a one-woman man. This girl, her photo is there, what's her name? Melanie Hamrick. She's 32, yep. He's 75. And she has been good enough to stem the flow, like just turn the tap off and gone, she is the one. He has said, I've stopped with my womanising. This is incredible, isn't it?
No, he sat by himself one early morning and gone, I am now too old to do both too much sex and touring. What's the most important?
What's got to go?
What's got to go?
Do you think he wants to stop or he's just run out of the stuff?
I reckon eventually you run dry.
After 4,000, you know what I mean? It's just dust.
Yuck.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
It's going to be hot later on in the weekend. Huge swells coming in from this cyclone that's whipping us with its tail, Cyclone Omar. And I'll tell you what, last night on the news, they had the shark attack at Byron Bay.
Close the beach.
And straight after that, I went, oh, no, we've lost another one.
Standing helpless, two mates in desperate search of a friend who disappeared from their sights during an early morning swim at Palm Beach.
It was a really big, heavy sea here.
Emergency services conducting a large-scale search for 2 hours.
They showed all the motorbikes along the beach, the helicopters, the boats in the water.
Everyone was out there searching out there for looking. This bloke.
All right, and I thought, on.
Hold on. At about 11:20, police got a call about a male asleep in a phone booth near the Palm Beach Police Station and went and roused the young man and discovered that he was, in fact, the person that had gone missing from the water.
Sleep in a phone? Who can find a phone booth?
There's no phone.
Yeah, it's easier to find a human in the sea than it is to find a phone booth.
And just a quick dir for the policeman at the end, if you weren't aware.
The young men had been out in the town during the night and had consumed a considerable quantity of alcohol.
Oh,
thank you, officer. Yes. We couldn't have worked that one out by ourselves.
I thought it was Superman.
The big breakfast, Triple M.
Okay, so I saw something yesterday. As you guys well know, I run Mount Coota a fair bit. And over the weekend, I was doing the honeysuckle track. Come on, you know. Mm. What's that one? I was coming from Fleming Road. I went up to the top of
Honey Eater, isn't it?
Honey Eater track.
Oh, there's all tracks everywhere up there.
Okay, and then I went down the one that runs parallel to the road down to
JC's.
It's
like a fire trail. They only built that in the last 2 years.
Yep, okay. So I ran down that, got to the bottom of JC's.
It's not easy to get a bike, love. You go so fast.
No, but you exercise, so I'm running.
That bit.
Anyway, I came back up and I come across two young fellas with a cat on a leash.
Oh, big cat, like a lion?
No. I mean, it was the sweetest little, and it was a very beautiful looking cat. The markings made it look like a leopard, but it would look like a kitten.
Ooh, was it a leopard?
No. Well, they were on that fire trail.
Why would you put
in the middle of nowhere?
Yes, with a cat on a leash. Why? I don't understand. Like, why would you walk a cat ever?
I do love when people walk some weird pets.
Do they? Yeah. I've seen dogs. I've seen multiple dogs.
I've seen a pig in
a pig?
Newtown, inner city Sydney.
Walking a pig?
Yep, and walking allowed right down one of the main roads through Newtown, not far from the centre of Sydney. He was going for a walk with his pig.
Oh, my Lord.
Big pig?
No, medium pig. I'd say 30K.
30K.
Well, not ready to eat yet. Oh, you could. It'd be tender.
Actually, I know a girlfriend who actually is my nail artist. She has a bird that she puts on a leash.
Oh, they're...
That's
she's got
awesome.
one of those
I'm a fan.
Really pretty
what
birds.
Of the people with birds on their shoulders?
Yeah. I've seen a few blokes in pubs over the years that just have a bird and a messy jacket.
they don't have a job, do they? No.
Well, they just love their birds.
People who have birds on their shoulders
but why,
don't go
why
to
would
work.
Just give me throw
Pirate.
Me some reasons why someone
why?
Would walk a
cat.
Like, seriously, isn't the whole point of a cat is that they do their
you don't
own
have to
exercise?
Do anything.
that's right. You never have to do a thing.
They are the pet that is the most.
Interesting, when you take your dog for a walk, you've got to have a poo bag. Did they have anything?
Ooh, no. Well, they bury their own little thing.
Well, they think they do. Mm.
No, it was the oddest thing. It's and I almost
peculiar.
Stopped and sort of said, what
do
are you doing?
Do you think they were in a modern relationship, these two men?
I don't know.
What do you mean in a modern relationship?
Well, they're two men walking a cat.
You could jump to that conclusion, I guess, but I had no idea and I don't want to. I just, yeah. I was, when you're running and you're in your own little world and I don't ever
what
run with
that?
Music in my ears because I want to be a what? Part of the environment that I'm in.
Really?
And I'm looking down at these people and I'm thinking, there is a cat on a leash.
Oh, so you don't run with headphones?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, mate, well, I have headphones on all day. I don't want to run with headphones. I want to breathe in the air. And
just your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I solve problems when I run.
Well, you haven't sorted the cat business out, have you?
That's weirder than cat on a leash.
Yes.
Yeah.
A person without headphones.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I'm that type of girl. I like to know the ins and outs of our politicians and our celebrities. I like to know who they are and what they're about. So Channel 9, in their news last night, had a feature on Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, and his wife, Jenny.
Did they have him on or just her?
No, it was pretty much just her and her talking about how when that leadership spill happened, literally he rang her and said, I think this is going to go away that I hadn't expected. Get down here, get the kids out of school. could be on.
This is all part of the plan, though. The election's coming up in May. They're clawing their way back, the Liberals,
well, that
against
looks like
Jordan.
There might be. Mm. And I was very interested in this little piece of information about this couple.
Textbook childhood sweethearts Scott and Jenny met at church aged 12, started dating at 16 and married at 21.
Does that mean that's...
Is that textbook?
Well, does that mean they actually haven't been with anyone else? I find that slightly honourable, I have to say. I do. I think that's sweet that means... you go through your entire life only ever being with one human being.
Now, I think you'll see later in the in that same report, he has spent a lot of time away from her.
Yeah, so.
What are you insinuating?
He's a good religious Christian man.
Sure he is. There was a story floating around a while ago, and I'd never found out whether it was true or not, but at the Engadine McDonald's, there was some strife one night.
That was Moon's
great. Crappy stacks after the 1997 Super League Grand Final.
How does that mean that he's been with someone else?
Well,
if he's just got some bowel
problems. If there's one story, there might be others. There's some, you get lonely on a cold Canberra night. She's sitting in Cronulla with the kids.
How do you trust the PM who's only had one partner?
Yeah. Mm.
God, I'll take One Nation before one partner.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.